Hello, and welcome to the third episode of Kol Nefesh Yamim Noraim Liturgical Podcast. I'm your host, Jay Schlesinger, and I'm recording this podcast during the COVID-19 pandemic. Today, I will be in conversation with my guest, Chazan Jackie Chernet. Jackie is not only the founder and director of Studies at IJL, but also a founding member at Kol Nefesh. Without much further ado, here's episode 3. Thank you for joining me, Jackie. How are you?
Very well, Jay. I'm delighted to join you and thank you for asking me.
I would like to start the podcast looking at the general themes and then zooming in on the focus of the podcast, which is the liturgy of the High Holidays. Undoubtedly, we all have very different stories about how we came to where we are. And for you especially, you're not only a member of Kol Nefesh, you're also a Chazan. I'm super excited to learn more about how this thing came to be.
I would say that it's largely to do with Kol Nefesh as to why I'm a Chazan, because on the second day of Rosh Hashanah in the year 2000, Edgware Masorti were running for the first time an egalitarian service. Shul had asked me to lead Musaf. I worked very hard to learn it, and I stood there in the middle of the service. I just heard this voice, and I thought, who's that? And I realized it was me. So it was a very strange experience. This, of course, came at a time when I had thought very long and hard about the way services were being conducted in shul. I felt very much that we owe it to our people to learn and to take those traditions and really study them. And there are not many places where you can do that. Rabbis don't do that. It's not their shtick. This is the thing of the Chazan. The Chazan, not who just calls themselves Chazan because they can lead a service or two, but people who've really studied not just pieces, but the depth of the Nusach and its intricacies. And you can read a text and it's very lovely and you can read beautiful poetry, but once it's set to music, it flies. That's why religious texts are chanted, because they're carried and they get deeper into the soul of the person and the community as they share these things. I'm looking to delve deep, taking the purity of that nusach and molding it with the text according to the mood. And it's the mood that the chazan or the shliach tzibur has to set to enable the congregants to be embraced in that. So that's why I come back to that moment on Rosh Hashanah second day in 2000 when I stood there and I heard this voice and I realized it was me. And I don't know that it's ever happened again, but it happened then. And that was a very cathartic moment. I knew then I have to become qualified, particularly because I'm a woman and in a man's world. That's when I decided that I had to be a chazan, and I was already an old woman. I was 62 at that stage, so it's a long time ago. The purpose of it was not for me because I needed to be qualified. Why would I bother to spend thousands of pounds? We had to take out another mortgage on the house, and I had to try. Oh, yes, I've got a very tolerant husband, believe me. And to do this trek back and forth across the Atlantic every month until I qualified. But luckily, because I'd done so much work before I went, it took me only 2.5 years instead of 5. And it was a blessing. It was a privilege to be there. It was wonderful. And, of course, I got to study with wonderful people, and particularly Chazan Souls in. I was able to bring back a lot that I'd learned to IJL, and of course he launched it with us. He came to Paris and to London, and it was so much fun, and we launched it, and that's the story.
It is absolutely fantastic. What's so inspiring in all this story is the two conversations I had with Gilad and Steve. They obviously both mentioned you as an inspiration, so You being able to spread your enthusiasm and knowledge in the community is fascinating. Steve also spoke about exactly the same moment that you mentioned, that's so rare and precious that occasionally it happens in the davening, where the shliach tzibur just lets go and the liturgy pours out of him or her without really knowing what's happening. And those very precious moments tend to be very inspiring.
Yes, because you see, what happens is that davening can't be taught. It has to be caught. And it's in the experience of it
Of course, and that makes Col Nefesh very special, because a community of very learned members, people who really love to daven, are able to create and maintain Kehila Kedosha, which not only helps a Shliach Tzibur, it helps everyone in the room, really.
Of course, that's the whole point, because if you're a Shliach Tzibur, you are a messenger of the Tzibur. You're not there just doing a job. You're holding a whole congregation in the most intimate moments of their lives. Intimate moments of life include moments of one's being and one's conversation with oneself and beyond, or God, or whatever you call it. It's very, very deep. It's very personal. And I have to say that that's why I found it very difficult or impossible to engage in any kind of experience of tefillah on Zoom, because to me it's like a bit of voyeurism when I'm davening. This is very personal. It's just the conversation between me and whatever God might be. And if we're engaged in shul, in a collective, we're all doing this as a group in one room. And it's like Joey Weisenberg talks about when he collects people around him. He says, I like to feel warm bodies. And I really get that.
Absolutely. It's the people coming together and sharing those moments that make it very challenging for us not being able to have physical services because of the pandemic. As someone who's very actively involved in davening, how have you been managing the last 4 or 5 months?
I've managed with great difficulty, which I'm coming through now, but that was due to personal circumstances. It's been a very, very hard year, and I've never experienced so much personal pain, partly to do with the pandemic, because as a result of that, we lost our beloved son-in-law, Anna's husband, Paul. Since about April, I couldn't daven at all. Does it mean that I didn't engage with tefillah? Not at all. It was too deep to articulate in any sense of trying to give lip service to any words. But anyway, I mean, I think various things, including coming to shul last Shabbos, has unlocked that. So I'm getting back to it now. I've started davening every day again. My colleagues and friends and family have been very understanding about it, as I would, of course, for them or anybody else who said it. And that's part of being community as well. So coming into shul last Shabbos, with the few of us there all masked up and not being able to sing very much, although I had to contain myself a bit, you were davening, and it was lovely, and it helped. So I would say that never be ashamed to talk about these things. You may find it helps.
Thank you, Jackie. It's very nice of you to be able to so openly share both the difficulties and positives that you were able to find in this period, because no one could have foreseen the pandemic coming, and how we respond to it is very, very important. Different people find themselves in very unexpected circumstances, and having the community as a backup, knowing that they are there for you, really makes a difference.
It is vital, and it's never been so intensely experienced and demonstrated as this particular pandemic is still doing. I mean, we're not through it yet. We relax a little bit and you start seeing one person or something like that, and you think, oh, thank God we're getting through this, but we're not through it yet.
Jackie, I would now like to look specifically at High Holidays. These are the holiest days in a calendar. What makes High Holidays so special to you?
The preparation for them heightens the senses somewhat. I try hard to engage with the personal introspection in the sense of hoping to remember all the things I didn't do as well as I wanted to, or mistakes made, or things that were wrong. You know, the genius of Judaism is opens the door for us to do that, if we take it, of course, because there are many people that will maybe just come to shul because they like the music, or they want to see everybody, or whatever, and fine, that's fine. For me, it's much deeper than that. You enter a different kind of state of being in some ways.
Is there something that specifically announces to you that High Holidays are here?
When I start rehearsing my Silichot group, they really put you in the mood when you start singing. Then that begins normally in July. It hasn't been like that this year. It doesn't matter. You know, it'll happen whenever it happens.
Wonderful. We've slightly touched upon it, but High Holidays has a lot of very unique and very special liturgy, and with the liturgy also comes music. For this podcast, you've picked the Hoda'ah section of the Amida specific to High Holidays.
Yes.
In the previous podcast, Gilad spoke about Unatane Tokev, mm-hmm. just towards the beginning of the repetition of the Musaf. In the previous episode, Steve was talking about the Avodah service, which is specific to Yom Kippur, but also comes very closely just before the section that we are going to look at together, which is the Hoda'ah section.
Yes, it does.
They are specific High Holidays, insertion and additions. What made you pick this section of the service?
Every Amidah, whether it's weekday or Shabbos or Yom Tov or whatever, starts with three blessings, ends with three blessings, and in the middle you get the specific things for the day or the time. We're talking about Hoda'ah as being one of the last of these three. And Hoda'ah means thanks. It's not a section that sticks out to many people. And it starts Modim Anachnu Lach normally. On the Yamim Noraim, we get four insertions in the Amida. And the third one says, Uchatov Lechayim Tovim Kol B'nei V'ritecha. It asks God that we should be written for a good life, and it says, and all the children of your covenant. So it's Israel as a people, of course, and God in this covenant. And this is one of the insertions. And in the Ashkenazi rite, just before we say that, and after Va'al Kulam, Yit Barach V'Yitromam Shim Chamal Kenu Tamid Le'olam Va'ed, there is this little paragraph which starts with a cry, Avinu Malkeinu. Now, when we say Avinu Malkeinu, you know there's a plea coming. We're just giving thanks. Thank you, God, for everything that you're doing for us, for everything, for the whole gift of life. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And on Yamim Noraim, may we be written for a life of goodness, please, or for all your people. All of a sudden, in the reader's repetition, we get this. Avinu Malkeinu, oh my God, what's coming? Zechor, now, remember, now we're pointing the finger at God, remember, Rachamecha, your Rachmonus, your mercy, Uchavosh, and overcome, conquer, what? Ka'ascha, your anger, and then Vachale, Dever, get rid of Dever, we get that as a play in the Haggadah as well, Dever, was often relating to the plague of animal pestilence or disease. Cherev, a sword, so that's war. Ra'av, famine. Shvi is captivity. Mashhit, destruction. Va'avon, iniquities. Ushmad is like annihilation. Well, we've not come far away from the Shoah to know about that. Magefa is plague. We're in it. It's here in the book. Fegara, bad things happening. V'chol machala, and all illness. Oh God, the illness. And the virus is producing the illness that's killing people. V'chol tekala, all kinds of harm, and v'chol katata, and all kinds of argument, and all terrible things we do to each other. V'chol minei furanyot, and all kinds of horrible things happening. The whole Gezera Ra'a, bad decrees. Now this one, which kills me even more, Sinat Hinam, causeless hatred. One can't even begin to imagine why. And Me'aleinu Me'al Kol B'nei V'ritecha, from us and all your people. But I would want that for the world. Now, why insert it here in the Modim, in the Hoda'ah? Well, thank you, God. You've given us life. We're so grateful for the world we live in. But now it's your turn. And it reminds me very much of Hanashamalach, the soul. Hang on, it's mine. No, it's yours. You made it. You were the creator. Vahaguf po'olach. It's my body. No, it's not. You created it. We're actually voicing the extremes of understanding what is the covenant. And so God has a responsibility as well as we do. So this little paragraph in the middle of Hoda'ah only makes sense if we continue it with Uchatov l'chaim tovim kol b'nei v'ritecha, with that little insert, because we thank God for everything, but life ain't perfect.
In an ideal world, we thank God daily. And
we do.
Some of the themes of this paragraph, we obviously know from the evening davening of Hashkiveinu.
Yes, absolutely.
Ask God for protection. But what is so nice about this section of Hoda'ah is it incorporates the idea of asking for bad things not happen to us. And it sets it very beautifully in the context of High Holidays, especially with the remarks on the covenant.
It does. So much, particularly of our liturgy on the High Holy Days, is very old. So I look this up. And now Rav Amram was one of the Gaonim, and he wrote a responsum to Jews in Spain who were asking questions, well, what do we do? So he writes this in the repetition, Zechor Rachamecha, and here's our text, Uchavosh Ka'ascha, V'chalei Dever V'cherev U'mashchit U'magefa, ויצר הרע ושנאת חינם ועבודה זרה וחילול השם וכל מחלה וכל תקלה וכל קטטה וכל גזרה רעה מעלינו ומעל כל בני בריתך, etc. So Rav Amram's version has fewer horrors that are mentioned. Rav Amram lived in the 9th century. So also I looked up in Abudraham. Abudraham is 13th century, much later in Seville. The thing is, Abudraham mentions nothing, and that is because it never came through to the Sephardic liturgy. Now, why have I chosen this? Not only because I have a strange question to try and understand why it has been inserted in this particular section before Uchatov l'chaim tovim, kol b'nei v'ritecha, why is it in the Hoda'ah? Whenever I've got to this section, I would only ever try and daven this in slicha mode. However, I cannot do it at all. Every single time I come to this text, it is so difficult that I find myself not able to sing it at all. I find myself sometimes shouting it, because this is the essence of all this stuff, all these horrible things. This screams at us. And there's that painting, Munch, the Norwegian artist, The Scream. Nahum has a tie with it. And you just look at it and you think, that's all you can do. So here is a piece of text out of everything in the whole year that I ever have come across that I cannot put any singing to. It's too painful. And it makes me so aware of the horrors. And I don't want to dwell on the horrors. So after that, I'm left like a wet rag from that paragraph. And please God, Uchatov l'chaim tovim, let's hope for a better life. What comes after that, obviously, is the Chatima of the Hoda'ah. Thank you very much, God. But then comes the blessing, Birkat Kohanim.
I was secretly hoping we would get onto that.
It's very important to end on something positive, because that was so painful. We can't survive without hope. And hope is one of the greatest things that Jewish teaching has to offer us. And so therefore, to follow this painful paragraph is when the Kohanim come up. And I'm a Bat Kohen, by the way. Last year, when I was at the yeshiva, Rabbi Joel said, we call Bat Kohanim to the Dukhan. And they Dukhan every day. On a very early Thursday morning, when I came into the shul, because we were in the shul next door, I was offered the opportunity for the first time in my life to go and duchen. So I joined the men and the women. I knew what to do because I've led it for years, guiding the male Kohanim in our shul. And I did it. It was a very emotional experience for me. But through the conduit of the Kohen, we have this wonderful blessing. So that's what I'm going to put in this podcast.
Yes, please.
Yivarecha. Adonai. V'yishmerecha Ya'ir Adonai Panav Eilecha Ay, 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 Hana Elecha V'yaseh Lecha
Amazing. Thank you so much, Aki.
Thank you for asking me, Jay, and thank you for doing the series. It's wonderful.
On the topic of the community, as a guest on this podcast, you get a voice to say something to the community who hopefully will be listening in the run-up to the high holidays. Is there anything you'd like to share with them?
Continue the love for each other, the love for community. We'll get through this horrible plague and we will be back together in Shul one day. But in the meantime, go with it and just let it happen. Just let it be. Everything will be all right in the end. Always be positive and always have hope.
Thank you, Jackie, for joining me today, and thank you all for listening. I really hope you enjoyed this podcast. Please stay tuned for further conversations with other members of Kol Nefesh about their liturgical highlights of the Yamim Noraim. Until the next time.